What a finale! We just watched the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Season 3 finale, and now we're going to talk about it. We're going to talk about Lincoln. We're going to talk about Coulson 6 months later. There's so much to talk about. Let's go!
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin!
Hey there, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. fans! Welcome back to AfterBuzz TV's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. After Show. How are we feeling, guys?
I can't.
That was a marathon. I am exhausted.
I went through so many emotions. Oh. I feel spent. Emotionally spent.
Would you say that your heart tremored?
It did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would.
This episode was electrifying.
I would say, yeah, it was electrifying. I was shocked by how much I enjoyed this episode. I wasn't shocked. I enjoyed it.
Mute that.
Yep. It made me quake in my sandals.
There you go.
I'm not wearing boots.
You're not wearing boots. You're wearing sandals.
Well, guys, like I said, thank you so much for joining us. We're talking about the season finale of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Ascension and Absolution. Two-part finale, a two-hour marathon movie of a finale, and there's so much to talk about. I want to thank everybody joining us live in the chat. Megan, unfortunately, could not be here tonight. Our director is missing.
Aww.
Maybe she's gotten a promotion, and we'll discuss that later on in the show. But I am your host, Zach Wilson. For tonight, you can follow me on Twitter. Tweet me throughout the show. I got the live chat open. I'm at that Zach Wilson. Jesse Klein's here.
Hi, everyone. How's it going? You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at JessKlein1. That's JessKlein, the number one.
Oh, you got your badge.
He's showing off his badge for all the audio listeners.
That looks pretty badass.
It's a good badge.
I misplaced. I intentionally didn't wear mine because if I wore it, it would be on my shoulder and then I would blow up.
Oh,
not
no!
Tempting fate. Joyce Ajuri.
Hey guys, you can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat at Jay Ajuri. I've got some behind the scenes snaps of us, so go check those out and let's get started.
All right, guys. So, quick first thoughts. What did you guys think of the finale? Did you enjoy it?
I really enjoyed it. My first thought was while we were watching it live, and like within the first 15 minutes, I was already on this on the edge of my seat, and I was like, "There's no way they can keep up at this pace." And they were. They kept that pace the entire episode.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was intense. There was no like dip or moment to breathe.
Yeah.
Like it just kept pushing. It was really well paced.
We were getting trolled. Like every turn they took, I was like, "What? Like you think it's gonna go one way, or you think it's gonna pan out, you know, a different way in your head?" And it's just they totally turn the switch on you.
Yeah. Oh, there was a lot of messing with the audience in these episodes.
I couldn't take it.
I really enjoyed it. I really liked. I would have if you told me how this was going to end beforehand, I would have said I wouldn't have enjoyed it. But after watching it, I think it was exactly the right way to go.
I did not enjoy the cup and ball game they did with the cross. I thought that was really annoying, and like it was, you know, ironic detachment where we're like, we knew that someone with the cross was going to die, and it was it felt very kind of ham-fisted, and I didn't like it. It felt like they're like, we're gonna write something just to screw with the audience, but there were like
it's so cold up here.
At a certain point, Daisy, it's like okay, this is getting. It's getting a little out of hand, but I don't know. I expected someone like more integral to the show to be the person to leave or to die. But I'm happy with the way it turned out also.
Yeah, I mean it was a good finale. Like it ended in the right way. But let's go back to the beginning, to the first episode.
Sure.
So the first episode was this like journey through the jungle.
Mm-hmm.
They are welcomed to the jungle, if you will. I love the if we see anybody coming from the air, that we'll know.
Pops out
first
of the
ocean.
No,
S.H.I.E.L.D.'s got you covered. You know they know what a submarine is.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, also it kind of. it kind of hinted to the Quinjet being able to go into space because of the pressure. Like, if they're, like, deep in the ocean, then, like, it can withstand that pressure. Then maybe it can withstand, like, space as well.
Yeah. Well, space is zero pressure.
Well, yeah. Well, the like opposite the type of pressure.
Like
yes.
The extremes.
Yeah. It's built for everything.
Yeah.
It's still pressure. It's just a different type.
Yeah. It's zero atmospheres mm-hmm. as opposed to several. But we got our little, like, half Secret Warriors team because, like, Joey is inexplicably missing.
He's just not here.
They didn't even bring him up at all.
Look, he went and found that guy and they had a hell of a second date.
They did.
We are not going to hear from
Joey. He knows what he wants, and if what he wants is to just chill for a little bit, then that's enough explanation for me.
Yeah.
I'm okay with it.
But there was so much, like, it was such, like, a just a base invasion, that, like, episode that was, it was fun. Like,
yeah.
We had, like, Mac and Yo-Yo teaming up again, Momo. It's not the first time I've made that joke.
I don't remember it, though.
Yo-Yo Mac.
I like Yo-Yo Mac.
Yo-Yo Mac is way better than Momo.
Just... That inhuman power is the ability to sing so smooth.
Momo is the way my nephew says motorcycle.
That's funny.
So it's cute.
But I mean, even they just had a really, like, intense storyline where, like, she took a bullet for him.
Yeah.
This week.
That was crazy. It's interesting because, you know, we've seen their relationship evolve. Maybe not in the way that we've seen, like, Lincoln and Daisy's relationship evolve. Like, we haven't seen them get super intimate or, you know, kiss or anything. But you can feel the connection between the two of them. And you know it's real and that they really care about each other. But to see her take a bullet for him, I know she didn't intend to. Like, she meant to catch the bullets. But the fact that she did that... Like, it just showcased her the depth of her emotions for Mac and her feelings for
him. Yeah, I really like how they've characterized Yo-Yo. Like, even though she's only been in a few episodes, like, you can just tell, like, just based on how they've written for her, like, she has a lot of integrity, she wants to fight for what she believes in, and she'll do what she thinks is right, and she had even that line where she's like, I'd rather be dead than a slave, and I think that's a pretty good summary of, like, who she is as a character.
Yeah.
And so, like, it's not surprising that she took that bullet for Mac. Like, that fits perfectly in with who they've set her up to be, as this kind of freedom fighter person who fights for what she believes in, was fighting those drug dealers when they first caught her, like, all of that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So I thought it was a really good payoff for that relationship.
In fairness, she did say that she was trying to stop them.
Yes.
And just happened to take the bullet because she wasn't fast enough.
Yes, but it's still... Like, you don't jump in front of a bullet without thinking, I could probably get shot.
Like, it doesn't matter. Her purpose was to protect Mac.
Yeah.
And it just ended in a different way than she expected.
Because they share this belief, in this faith. Mm-hmm. And it's something that most of the rest of the team, I don't think, would share. That, like... definitely not belief in a higher power.
Yeah, especially Fitz and Simmons, who are so strong in their science and, like, you know, they're kind of on the extreme end of, like, science and religion, I feel, so.
Yeah,
I don't know if they believe in that stuff, but it's just not something they ever brought up, so.
No, because it doesn't drive them. Whether or not they believe in it, it doesn't drive them day to day. They're driven by science, but Yo-Yo is driven by faith, and now we learn that Mac is driven by the same thing.
Yeah.
Because we've only known Mac for so long. Like, we met him last season.
Yeah.
So we've gotten to know him, we've gotten to love him, but, like, we didn't know his, like, this season is when we really learned who he was as a person.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I like, just that entire thing, I thought something interesting. It was like, Hive looked unfazed. Like, he got his core blown out, but, like, did not seem like he was injured at all by anything that happened in the last episode. So far, the only thing we saw that works, and I really like this characterization of him when Coulson was talking about it, is, like, he's carrying the memories of every single person that he has infested.
Yeah.
And that's who they're trying to outsmart. And I wish they had said that in, like, the first episode that we'd gotten Hive. because that totally changes who he is as a threat and totally changes like who we see him.
It was kind of, I mean, like, I understood that about him. It wasn't expressly said. Like, yeah. I figured as much because, like, since he had the memories of Will and had Ward's memories, like, it made sense that he had, like, all of the different pieces, like, throughout the year.
Like, they had, like, it, for me, it felt like he had, like, the emotional memory, but, like, none of the, like, I wish they just explicitly said, like, he has all of the tactical memory that Ward had and every, like, all the people that they'd fed to him over the years.
Yeah. It's speaking of Hive, we got Hive week. You got, oh my God. How good was that?
That was crazy. That makes up for all of the makeup effects that we've made fun of.
But those, like, squeegee sound effects are so gross.
Oh, it was
full squid
spot
face.
On what I wanted to see. Like it was a little bit different from the comics. The comics are very like he's green.
Yeah, he's like a greenish yellow.
Yeah, but this felt like the Hive that we've built. Like and like him in that like Matrix suit with the squid,
the
dreads,
tentacles.
The tentacle dreads. We got. Even more parallels once you, with the reveal between Hive and Lash is that they both, for some reason, when they became Inhumans, have dreads.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the part that, like, dawned on me was not just, like, oh, man, that looks amazing, but it's like, oh, this show can go there. Like, we've seen Kree, we've seen some bigger things, but just seeing Hive like that, it's like, next season we could get some pretty big stories, some outer space stories, and we've earned it already this season.
I hope so.
Yeah, as everyone in the chat, Eric Holland and Ray J's world are pointing, it's Squidward.
It's
Squidward.
Squidward.
Or what's the guy's name from Futurama? I can't.
Zoidberg?
Zoidberg.
Yeah. That's who I think of.
Zoidberg?
But I love the look because it brought this character to life. And, like, having read a lot of Inhuman stories, like, the Inhumans, only a few of them look human.
Yeah.
Like, and I get the, like, just for the sake of, like, it's a television show. Like, we have to, just know what we're dealing with. And, like, you can't have all of the Inhumans look crazy like the ones in the books.
Like there are budget reasons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Staffing reasons or just graphics and
stuff. The ones, like, that they did choose to give us, last season they gave us Raina and they gave us Gordon. Gordon was that, like, middle ground where, like, he's mostly human, but he has one feature that's been shifted.
Yeah.
Raina was, like, had gone through that big change, but, like, has still, like, kept, it was, like, somewhat contained. Then Lash went nuts.
Yeah.
And we've already talked about that
Lash
on the
was
show
the
plenty.
Finals of Face Off.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. but, like, they got it to Hive, and this was, like, something out of a
comic. It looked like a comic book on our TV screen, and it wasn't a movie. They didn't have the budget of a movie. It's probably why we didn't see the shuttle explode.
Yeah.
The Quinjet explode.
Look,
we saw a little blip.
Yeah.
Like,
which I actually thought was pretty powerful.
I thought so too.
Because it also showed us it from Daisy's perspective in that moment. And that's the thing is, in TV production, especially VFX, like I have some friends who do VFX. I actually have a friend who was the VFX coordinator for S.H.I.E.L.D.
Oh,
in season
cool.
one. So I got I didn't get any. Like, she literally would tell me nothing.
Yeah,
It was very frustrating. But
what a horrible person.
But what I always found interesting talking to different VFX people is, like, they're given a limited amount of budget. So, like, what they have to do is they work with the writers and with the producers to determine what shots they need to, which things to focus on. They can only do so many VFX shots a season.
Mm-hmm.
So they have to space them out. They have to pick their battles, basically. And so in this episode, I'm very glad that they sacrificed an explosion, which would have been cool, but, like, we've seen explosions, to put a little more time and money and effort into the Hive look.
Yeah, and I actually think it's more powerful. It might not have been a VFX decision, but I think it's more powerful that Lincoln's explosion death was so nothing. Like, to make it something so big emotionally, so small visually, I think was a really interesting choice.
Yeah, I think in many ways that's better.
I think it made it more powerful that way.
Impact-wise.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. It's like, seeing somebody die is always rough. Let's talk about Lincoln.
Sure.
Because it's sort of the elephant in the room.
Let's get into the Lincoln elephant.
Lincoln in the room.
Look, 67 years from now, we'll still have emotions about Lincoln's death.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But, oh God.
Megan would punch you right now.
I'm so sorry.
We knew where you were going.
But
you think, you know, Lincoln would have died in Civil War?
No, yes. He died right after.
Or he died right after Civil War, sure.
It fits.
Yeah.
Not that fits. We thought it was Fitz.
Yeah.
But after they pass the buck around, like, hey, you've got a jacket. There's only two people in the ship, so it has to be Mayor Fitz now. And then then Coulson's aboard. And there was a point, I think I turned to you guys at one point, where I legitimately thought it might have been Coulson.
Yeah.
I started picturing a season four that's going to have, that had like Maria Hill replacing him or something. Like, I'd already started, like, the wheels were already turning on what this show looks like without Phil Coulson in it.
I can't see the
and
show
it
without
would,
him.
It would be a different show.
Yeah.
But season, like, things change over seasons, and that would have been devastating.
Yeah.
What do you guys think of the decision to make it Lincoln?
It's fine. It's fine. I thought they were going to do something drastic and big. Like, Coulson, I didn't think they were going to kill, but someone else from, like, the original team,
yeah,
I thought was going to die. And, like, Lincoln's cool, and I like the actor. I thought he put on some great performances, but, like, his death does not, like, really affect anything. Like,
well,
it doesn't change anything with the team.
It will affect Daisy.
It does, well, and we see that it did.
Which, who has been a driving plot point for this show, and I feel like it's going to take her story, and I mean, obviously, and the rest of the team's story into different directions. Like, they're still going to be chasing her and protecting her and, like, you know, figuring out how to get her back, I'm sure. But it affected one of the biggest parts of this show in a way that I didn't expect.
But I would argue that Daisy was already guilt-ridden, and that if May had been the one who died, she would have acted the exact same way she had if Lincoln died. That she felt that the death was on her hands, that it should have been her that was up there in the Quinjet exploding. And I think that because this entire season they were keeping Lincoln away from the team, they kept on pushing him away, it didn't affect it as much as if he was an integral part of the team and was really connecting with people and was really, you know, being brought on and being accepted as an agent. Instead, the entire season was mostly his story was about how he wasn't part of the team and he wasn't, you know, doing orders or anything like that. So I think because of that, this death wasn't as big as it could have been.
I agree with that. I think his death isn't as impactful. Like, it still affected me because I was very much sympathizing with Daisy and, like, her performance. Like,
sure.
Chloe Bennett's performance killed me because it's like, God, the one person that, like, you know, would understand what she went through addiction-wise and, like, condition-wise is gone.
Yeah.
But I agree with you also. I feel like maybe she would have felt that way with anybody, perhaps.
Yeah.
Who went up there.
But yeah.
I don't know.
Well, she would have, but, like, it wouldn't have been as personal.
Yeah.
I don't think. Like, for her, Lincoln was the first person I think that she had, like, especially since she had feelings for Ward and was so betrayed, she probably was on a certain amount of emotional lockdown.
Yeah.
Where she's, like, not going to let anybody in. And then she meets Lincoln and she falls for him. And they both were resistant to it because of what had happened in the past with their relationships. But it's when she gave in to her feelings and, like, admitted to herself that she cared for him, and I think being under Hive's sway and then coming out of it, like, she realized through that whole process how much she cared about him because of, like, how much she was able to probably just admit to Hive, like, when he's like, do you love him, and she And she's, yes, I do. Yeah. Like, it, because, like, she can't lie to Hive.
Sure.
Even if, like, she could lie to herself, she can't lie to him. Which I think is an interesting thing of being under total mind control.
Yeah.
As for Lincoln's death, for me, I, like, again, this is what I was saying before. Like, if you had told me before I watched the episode, it's going to be Lincoln, I would have been annoyed. Because, like, mainly because I kind of wish they hadn't teased us with the death. Because if they hadn't teased us, if they hadn't been like, there's a death coming, they gave us the Gwen Stacy cover of Spider-Man done with the S.H.I.E.L.D. characters. Because now I'm thinking, when you compare it to Gwen Stacy, you're comparing it to one of the most devastating deaths in comic book history.
Yeah.
So when you do that, it means I am thinking it has to be somebody on our team. It has to be somebody that we care deeply about. Like, if you love this show, you love this character. And while I like Lincoln, I didn't love his character. That said, his send-off, I thought, was emotional. I think it connected in all the right ways.
Yeah.
I love the scene with him and Hive floating there as two Inhumans, both trying to save the world in their own way. I really loved that moment.
Yeah, I wrote Space Bros. Like, I would watch an entire season of just the two of them floating in space.
Speaking of Hive, I'm genuinely sad that we're not going to see Brett Dalton.
Yeah, that was the thing. So
that
we,
was something
we did,
that I'm, like, sad about.
We did lose a main cast member in this episode as well. So it is a double death.
Yeah.
Like Hive,
double death.
Yeah. They doubled down.
Yeah.
Multi-kill. as Sandra Wilson points out, don't tease it so much. But like, when you lose, but now we did lose a main character. And I expected Hive to die.
Same here.
And like, I would have been really pissed if like they brought Ward
if
back.
They cleansed Ward.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ugh. I would have been very upset as well.
I think we've had enough of Hive and that whole group.
Look, Brett Dalton has done an amazing job over three seasons. He's been a joy to watch.
He was a yeoman. He really just did whatever was needed of him, and he did great work.
He, like, as Ward, he was sort of a cold character, and we didn't really get to see as much of, like, his abilities. Even when he got emotional, it was still, like, flat for reasons.
Yeah.
Like, there were, it was always reasons, but he didn't, like, necessarily shine.
Yeah.
But when he took over when Hive took over Ward, and he just took on this vastly different persona.
Very charismatic.
And right up until this moment where he's floating in space, like, that, the emotion on his face, like, you could feel, like, what he's talking about when, you know, he's saying, like, I was here to save everyone. Mm-hmm. Like, you can see he wasn't, this is a good villain.
Like, absolution. It was his belief.
Yeah. Like, he was there for absolution.
You're convinced that he truly believed that what he was doing was right. And in many ways, you can't blame a guy for thinking, you know, no, that's terrible to
you're given the power to control things, and like that's your job.
Yeah.
You can't really blame him for it.
Like it's to him, like, that's the core of, like, who he is and what he's supposed to do. And it's one of those things where, like, yeah, you hate him because he's, like, destroying the world as you know it, but to him, like, that the new world is so much better. I liked him for that complexity.
Yeah, I just didn't like the Lincoln death from a narrative standpoint, but in the show itself, I thought it was really cool. I thought that moment with them as Space Bros, I thought was great.
I also feel like Hive sort of welcomed death. Like, it's something that, you know, he obviously accepted it was going to happen, but I feel like perhaps all along this was something that he was just waiting for. I think he wanted to change the world before it happened, but I think he was looking forward to being relieved.
Well, there's two possibilities that I see in his calm. Because I actually disagree a little bit. I don't think he was ready to accept his death. I don't think he was expecting to die. Like, because if
not
Hive,
yet anyway.
Because if Hive dies, like, the world like his idea for the world doesn't work. Like he was trying to connect the inhuman race and like make and like save the inhumans, but his version of saving them is to make them all one, to make them this hive mind, and if he dies, that's it. But I that moment when he's floating there, he definitely accepts like it's over.
Well, I think it's the curse of immortality thing where it's like Hive has been alive for so long, and like he even says like you'll get to experience the one thing that I've never experienced, and that's death.
Yeah.
And like that connects the two of us. Mm-hmm. I really like overall what they did. This was the most interesting for me that Hive has been this entire season. Yeah. Like having him go through the memory machine and like kind of reliving the world a little bit through Ward, a little bit through Will, a little bit kind of mixed between the two of them.
That was an awesome, like, just the whole structure of that, like having him repeat old lines, like stuff straight up from the pilot. It's like he's so running cool. through.
It was a great send off for Brett Dalton. Mm-hmm. Like this entire episode felt like a good send off.
Although for him. A lot of people have pointed out in the chat, LMD.
Yeah.
Life Model Decoy. So, like, who knows what Brett Dalton's doing next year?
Yeah.
That would feel a little cheap.
That would feel very cheap.
Like, he's brought back in a third role.
Yeah, I don't know. But as much as I like Brett Dalton. He's like a lab assistant
for Fitz.
Yeah, Slim, 4413, LMD Ward.
As much as I like Brett Dalton, I feel like this should be it.
For those of you who aren't familiar with the term life model decoy, in the comics, directors of S.H.I.E.L.D., specifically Nick Fury, is kind of famous for having these robots that basically have his exact personality and die for him. Like, when he's going into a situation that he knows he will die in, he sends a life model decoy, and they die, and Nick Fury's chilling out in a bunker somewhere.
Yeah, I think right now bowler hat.
Oh, Dum Dum Dugan.
Dum Dum, thank you. I blanked out for a second. Dum Dum right now in Howling Commandos.
Yeah.
Which is like him and like all the horror monsters.
Yeah.
Like he is a life model decoy.
Well, there are some stories that have been written that at least hint at, if not strongly suggest, that Nick Fury has been dead for a very long time, and it's just an army of life model decoys. There are some stories where he sicks an army of life model decoys of himself on people.
Yeah.
But like they suggest that maybe Fury has been dead for forever.
Well, right now he took over for spoilers for Original Sin. That if you haven't read that storyline, but
the 2-year-old storyline,
yeah. Right now, Nick Fury has taken over for the Watcher,
yeah,
and he's just chained up on the moon,
yep,
like ultimate spy because he can see everything.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
That was like the best part of that story. Anyway, we're way off the subject. This is why we need our director.
I don't even know how to bring you guys back from that. Like, how do I bring you back to?
Well, I want to go back let's go back to space to finish up, because like in that moment as they blow up, it's really devastating for Daisy more than anyone else, because Daisy's storyline in these episodes is so crazy. In fact, it's so crazy I think we need to take a break first so we can breathe.
Okay,
let's
take a deep breath, because you guys, I want to talk about iTunes really quick. And you know what, guys? You did a great job getting us reviews. We got so many ratings. I seriously love you guys. You are the best. That said, you did not get us to 600 ratings.
You know what that means.
Why?
So,
why did you guys not do that?
So hang on there for just a minute. But I want to give some iTunes shout-outs first. Because you guys really put in the effort this week. Guppy66 says, best podcast. Sadly, if you don't make it to 600, which I hope you do, you should do Chloe's song, Uh-Oh. This is Chloe Bennett's song. Yeah.
Have you seen that yet, Zach?
Her K-pop song?
I still have to watch it. I was watching S.H.I.E.L.D.
Or Chinese.
Big Guy says, the best podcast on AfterBuzz.
Yeah, Big
Roshni
Guy.
Roshni B says, these guys are the best. Much better. better than Scandal. Scandal's great, you guys. Scandal just in a competition with them.
But seriously, screw Scandal.
No episode of S.H.I.E.L.D. or Carter is complete without an AfterBuzz follow-up. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is great, but the recap is better from NTC 40.
Yay!
Yeah.
The recap with you guys makes it so worth it. I love to hear your banter and predictions are great, too. Lady Stardust says, must listen for Marvel fans. By far the best Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. podcast and the best AfterBuzz show out there. Awesome. From We Are About to Die, but first, that's their name. I love your show. I listened to it after watching the episode. You guys are hilarious. P.S. Phil Coulson's hand is the best. Thanks for reading him his stuff out
loud.
It's true. Matt Latterell. Oh, I also have a surprise from Phil Coulson's left hand. Stay tuned. It'll come after the song.
No, don't ha!
I'll get you to listen to us sing. Matt Latorella says, my favorite after show. I had to find my password for iTunes, which I haven't used in years, just to try to find, just to avoid people singing.
Just
sorry.
Make your password
didn't
password
work.
One.
Just guessed.
You guessed.
Gamer Girl 2330, please don't sing.
So sorry, Gamer Girl. It's happening.
I think we should listen to her.
Other than your singing, you guys still act like one big happy group. How this group is still funny after Lieberman left, I have no idea. We were funny independent of Matt Lieberman.
Matt and I are on the same comedy team.
Lash's Ghost writes in, that's it? Can't be only me disappointed with death. Whimper not bang. Me like bang. No like tingle of rings. Why people keep... He's not a caveman. I miss Lash, too. Like, I think he would have been a great character to keep around.
I just miss Andrew.
Mm-hmm.
Not as much bang, bang better, five pointy golden things.
Thank you for those 5 pointy things.
Texas Stacy, thanks for such a great show. I look forward to the debrief each week. And Mad Splatter, my first podcast of interest came from AfterBuzz. Anything with the Menguin and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is a perfect combination for great fun. The rest of you are great too. Sure.
Thanks.
Thanks.
We're not Menguin.
So guys... they're still begging us. Boo in the chat. Please, I'm begging you, don't sing. Sandra said Megan didn't want to sing. That's why
she got out of this one.
Rue is just like, no.
I knew I should have called in sick.
And Ray J, don't worry. We will hear from Phil Coulson's left hand, who sent me a note just about tonight's episode. So we got it in time. So, guys, I think it's time.
Oh my goodness.
For a little bit. So, Steve in the booth, if you could cue us up. Daisy, Daisy, Hive has infected you. You went crazy, brainstem all covered in goo.
In humans, he wants to enslave it.
But S.H.I.E.L.D., it seems they crushed your dreams when the Quinjet went kabloom.
Thank you,
everyone.
That was, oh my God, I was not in tune with you guys.
Short and sweet. I thought you were the best of us.
Yeah. Thank you. That's very strange.
Joyce, we all brought the quality. Jesse went like 40s.
Yeah. I went a little gruff.
I went singer before auto-tune.
Everyone's like covering their ears. Would you tell me when it's over? We kept it short, you guys.
Yeah, that's the silver lining.
Boo says, where is Hive when you need him? Come on,
that's
you guys.
Mean.
Someone said dogs are screaming. we get claps bravo from the booth. Thank you.
Hey, we did that just for you guys. So Phil Coulson's left hand says, that seems like a good... oh, wait, there's a whole... Oh, wait, wow, there's a lot. Okay. Fun fact, last episode you were applauding Phil's left-handed catch with of the Turton Crystal. Yay, go Phil, sacrifice me, blah, blah, blah. But I have an explanation. There was some discussion during the episode of Phil's Little League Adventures and his 400 batting average. That means when he dove for the crystal, he was thinking like that baseball player, and baseball players wear their gloves and catch things with their left hand if they're right-handed. That leaves their good arm free to throw the ball. Boom! Mic drop. Mac, you cut me off, Phil. I think at least you deserve a cool nickname. He's Mac and Cheese. Yeah, I mean, the two of them together is Mac and Cheese. Phil Coulson's left hand was like typing. He was like live tweeting directly to me. That seems like a good note to end on. It's been a good run, guys. I'll be here next season. Count on it. With your fingers on your hand. I'll also be awkwardly creeping on Twitter as well. At PC Left Hand. Hashtag it. Okay, they're playing me out, so I'd better go. Till next time, Phil Coulson's left hand. He also said he pretty much thought everyone was going to die at some point.
I would want to hear his opinion. There was that scene with Dr. Radcliffe where he holds all the hands.
Yeah.
That like, was really
there's,
cool.
There's like three or four hands in that office.
I love his excitement when he was like, does he have a live test going on? And yeah. Coulson's like, yeah.
But we also got a note from someone, specific, Luke's right hand.
Luke's right hand. Oh, my goodness.
Wrote in, dear Phil Coulson's left hand, I have three words for you. Get over it. Things could be worse. You're a hero. You were lost in order to save the lives of many people. I was sent flying by the worst father in the galaxy. You've been removed from Coulson for only a year, and at least you're kept in a glass case in the S.H.I.E.L.D. lab. I've been lost for 36 years, and nobody knows what happened to me. The lightsaber I was holding when I was amputated has been found, but I'm MIA.
Right. I love it. That's
P.S. Luke Skywalker's right hand says, I love the AfterBuzz Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. after show. I give it one thumbs up, which is the highest compliment I can give.
Speaking of Luke, I love Clark Gregg's, Coulson's reference to Star Wars.
Oh, yeah.
And MamaLittle7 on Twitter said it was the best Star Wars reference. And I thought it was hilarious. Yeah, loved it. He was like, yeah, my only hope it just gets cut off.
That entire speech was great because we haven't gotten a lot of Coulson this season. Like we've gotten little bits and pieces with him and Talbot going back and forth. But that was a great kind of reminder for why you love Phil Coulson so much.
Yeah.
Like him being smug, him being two steps ahead.
He's kind of like Batman.
And then being a bit of a nerd is like why you love Phil Coulson.
I mean, this is the remember, it's easy to forget like the version we had for so many years in the cinematic universe, like in the movies. But like he was a bit of a nerd. Like he collected Captain America trading cards.
Yeah.
He is a nerd.
This is his favorite job he could ever have. He gets to do super spy stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I love the verge of the backstory they built him in the comics, which I like to believe is his backstory here. Although, actually, it physically couldn't have been because it doesn't work. Though. But in the comics, his backstory is like he is obsessed with superheroes and like he studies them and he has like notebooks of all of them. And they show him as a kid with like all the posters and stuff. And then like he eventually winds up and S.H.I.E.L.D. and becomes like their top strategist for how to utilize superhumans because he knows like, okay, well, this is the situation. All right, so we're going into Doctor Strange's house. Mm-hmm. We're going to be fighting monsters with crazy powers. So we need Spider-Man because he has the reflexes we need to deal with surprises.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
With the Spidey sense. Like, that's the kind of thing that Coulson can do. And it was great to see him just outsmarting Hive. Like, not overpowering him, outsmarting him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was great. Let's dive into Daisy.
Let's get into it.
She also threw me in for a loop because, you know, usually when you see Daisy after something traumatic or after a crazy event, she's willing to go back out there and like fix it and help and be a part of the team. But this time she was like, no, like I know what I need to do. I need to stay back. I don't deserve your forgiveness, your friendship, like your second chances. It was a different way to see her. It was off-putting.
This was a very, like, dark, like, way to just look at addiction withdrawal.
Yeah, I think it was one of the best versions I've seen on TV of, like, talking about the nature of addiction.
Especially on network.
And then not only the nature of addiction, but the psychology after you're clean, like how you deal with that guilt, how you deal with those actions that you did while you were under control of that substance. And that even though you are clean, that substance still is a part of your life and still affects you. Even though she didn't have Hive in her, she was still making decisions at least a little bit based off of who she was when she was controlled by Hive.
Yeah.
And like as much as she hated who she was when she was with Hive, like seeing her say, please, please take me back. That's a lot of people. That's a relapse. That's a lot of people who have addictive problems and addictive personalities. Either they go back to the thing that they were addicted to or they find a new addiction.
Only unfortunately, those drugs in real life don't say no. I can't come back to you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which is, you know.
Yeah. I'll be honest. Like that moment, I was a little like, she's impervious to it now. Yeah. Like,
yeah.
But we got Quake Fu out of it, which was pretty cool.
Oh my god, that
she
was
broke
so
his bones.
Yeah, I know.
Good.
Just the choreography of that, of like the fighting was good, but then like her launching off the wall
and
like, using
in the face.
Yeah, like using it as a new form of punch, like the thought and like the careful planning that has to go into a choreography like that.
So cool.
Like
also,
I just applaud the whole team.
Hive's like Black Widow move, his like Matrix Hive Black Widow landing.
Oh yeah.
Which was really
cool. He did the superhero landing.
Yeah.
Oh, he's gonna do the superhero landing.
Yeah. Deadpool ruined that move for anyone who uses it ever again.
Zach and I looked at each other and just started laughing because it was like it was so serious. He had like the fist down
and
like
and
looked up at
down.
The camera.
It was
the fist down. It was like everything else could have just been like that's how you fall, but the fist to the floor.
It's like you're not Iron Man.
Yeah,
when he landed, what are you doing?
It looked like he was like trying to quake the ground,
but
he can't.
But other than that, like the Quake Fu was so cool.
Yeah,
like
it was.
Just seeing her be able to like take her shield training and use the Quake powers in the same fight was just, I mean, that was one of the best fights we've seen on the show.
Yeah, it was so good, and especially because it was played against all of like all of what Daisy is going through in this. Like that is an addict like just fighting for her drug.
And literally fighting her demons at the same time.
Yeah, I mean, this is why I love comics. A lot of people are comparing it, in the live show, are comparing it to Jessica Jones.
Yeah.
Because Jessica Jones dealt with a lot of similarly heavy issues. And I think this is actually a bit of a tease of what we're going to see going forward. And I think there's a reason that it came in the 10 o'clock hour of this two-part finale. And we'll talk about that a little bit more when we get to news, because there is some big news that we'll talk about.
This
but
was
there's
a big
still,
week for news in the Marvel TV world.
Oh, yeah, it was. And we only have a limited amount of time. But, there was so much going on in this. I could just like say good things about Chloe Bennett's performance all day, because she's a phenomenal, like the more we see from these actors, the more we just realize like how good each person on this team is.
I was really also taken, I mean, speaking of like acting performances, I was taken aback by Ian, how do you say his last name? I can never pronounce it correctly, but Fitz.
Oh yeah.
His performance was great today, too. Like, the fear in his face when he was trying to get the doors to open when the primitives were, like, after him.
Yeah,
so
the alphas.
It was great. Like, he was so good tonight.
The alphas were scary. I loved Simmons, like, dealing with them, like, with intelligence, outsmarting over, strengthening. I don't know why that's what my brain wanted to say.
Yeah.
I like it. It's good.
Yeah, I mean, the alphas, they look very like season 3 of Buffy the Vampire Slayer for me.
A little
Flash zombie.
Not, it wasn't as like silly though.
Yeah. It's still like they're fine.
Yeah,
they're
like,
fine.
I'm glad we probably won't see them again. They were fine for this. I mean, like, I don't want to deal with them in long term.
There's like 28 of them or something like that. Yeah. So
they killed a bunch of them.
Yeah. They did kill a bunch, but also at the same time, like, I thought it was interesting hearing that they still kept their tactical knowledge. Like, that was, at least they weren't just like, because when May was beating them up after Radcliffe had been like, do you guys know anything about this missile? Could you help me? And then May came in and beat them up. I was like, May's just beating up children. She's just beating up strong 2-year-olds. I'm glad that they kept some tactical knowledge. So it wasn't just May beating up strong 2-year-olds.
And I loved, like, I loved Radcliffe.
Yeah,
like,
Radcliffe was a fantastic addition.
I actually, like, wrote down it at one point, like, I like Radcliffe. I want him to stay.
Yeah.
It looks like he will be, and I'm really happy about that, because he really came in, like as a character. I'm like, this is fun.
He might be the antagonist for the first half of the next season.
Could be.
Or on their side.
I can easily see him that
way. We're going to talk about the six months later in a moment, but just, like, last thoughts on these episodes. Like, any favorite moments we can get to touch? We didn't have a lot of time to cover all these episodes, so if there's moments that you guys, like I said, there's still more to talk about, but, like, so you guys, favorite moments we didn't get to talk about.
I like the shotgun axe payoff.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
And that was going to be mine.
And I also think we were talking about, I think it's a real treat when we get to see these actors who've been dealing with these characters now for 3 years. And I think that's why we're kind of seeing them just blow it out of the park, because, like, we're seeing these really lived in, well-paced characters. And it was really, like, from, like, an acting standpoint, they knocked it out. Like, yeah. It was a really good episode.
I think one of my favorite parts, we touched upon slightly, or maybe we didn't, was when Fitz did the face recognition as
the general
next to Talbot. And I also thought it was interesting. Yeah, it was great. And, like, his mannerisms came in where he'd, like, cross his arms or scratch his head while he was talking to...
Yeah, good performance by that actor.
Whatever, yeah.
That was playing.
But also, I liked seeing that Talbot, like, I was under the impression that he agreed with the Accords, and to see him break rules like that tonight was really cool.
Yeah.
Some favorite moments from the chat. Peter D says, Gemma beat dat ass with a tire iron.
She did.
Also, the Invisigun.
Yes, the Invisigun.
That was bad.
Oh my god.
Fitz killed a guy. Killed Guerra. Like, he
killed a guy.
Yeah, I mean, it's not the first time. Let's be honest.
But he did ice him.
But
death ice, not ice.
No, like, he killed
straight
him.
Straight up.
Yeah.
Because he's just like,
nothing is keeping him from Gemma.
We don't want to kill the people under Hive's sway, because they're not good. They were good people once.
But this guy wasn't.
But you were a murderer psychopath beforehand, because he worked for Malik.
Yeah.
Just right.
Yeah, killed him.
I love Fitz and Simmons. Like, I'm the romantic one.
Yeah. Or when he is like, no, when he's trying to give Gemma, like, clues on how to help him open those doors, he's like, you have a good memory. You do, don't you?
Yeah.
Which, oh my god, please tell me I'm right.
Like, which, I know that feel, bro. Like, when he's like, it's like, don't just let me do the romantics.
Oh.
Like, you just be there.
Yeah.
Just when I tell you to, just meet me.
Yeah.
Also, a highlight from my notes. Amber Hive is a really bad stripper name.
Yes.
Nicely done, sir. Nicely done. 6 months later, smash cut 2. Like, that made, like, me jump a little bit. And it was just this awesome sequence. The team chasing him down. Daisy in, like, her old, like, in the look from season 1, pretty much.
Yeah.
She's giving, so for people who didn't remember, the Robin carve was something that the homeless man.
Yeah, what was his name?
Turned into Inhuman. His name escapes me, but I remember he was
the guy that could see the future.
He's the guy that sees the future, you're right.
Yeah.
Chad, if you could help us out, I'm going to try to Google it.
And we see Coulson and Mac kind of, like, they've been
spying on
her. She's been robbing banks, but it looks like in a Robin Hood type thing where she, like, took money from the bank to give to the family. Mm-hmm. She also sets up the mom with her dad. So super cool there.
Well, that will happen later.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then also we hear that there's a new director.
Yeah, Coulson is like, tell the director. Real casual drop.
Yeah.
Shield.
Who is it?
I mean, I'm looking Maria Hill.
Yeah, that was my first thought. I don't know what Colby Smulders is up to right now.
Just do it.
But
Colby.
Nothing big. She wasn't in Civil War.
She's being a hot mom.
She's being That's a hot what she's mama.
Doing. But like, okay, so she's been doing that for a little while. Yeah. Kids are gonna go off to preschool soon. Come lead
I know.
Shield.
Come back.
But what do you think causes Coulson to have to take a step down? Is it the fallout with Quake? Like, because what we see, they finally call her Quake in the newspapers, and she's on she's knocking down banks.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, maybe it's Shield going public again. Because, like, right now, S.H.I.E.L.D. is in the dark. And so, like, they need... If S.H.I.E.L.D. goes public again, you can't have Agent Coulson be the face of S.H.I.E.L.D. because he's technically dead. And you can't have the old director be the face of S.H.I.E.L.D. because he was the one who let all of the Hydra agents in. So you let Maria Hill be the head of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Mm.
Like, maybe S.H.I.E.L.D.'s going public again.
That would be
Possibly.
Cool. They were very out in the open.
Yeah.
Not very clandestine.
But technically still in the MCU, like S.H.I.E.L.D. doesn't exist.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm excited to see that. Like, I don't know if I don't know how you can't really rename the organization. Like, that seems like the most logical thing to do.
Yeah.
But when your show is called Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., it's real difficult.
Yeah.
I feel like maybe playing on the whole idea of guilt in this episode, maybe Coulson felt guilty about what happened to Daisy and like how things panned out for her, and maybe he himself decided to take a step back to sort of not be so involved with his team members, but also like not so involved with missions, maybe.
Yeah, so he could track Daisy closer.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's so much in these episodes.
And then we see Ada is coming to life.
Oh,
there's
yeah.
so many.
Well, look, Radcliffe's when they gave us that like post credit scene with Radcliffe.
Yeah.
And he like when the screen, I don't know if you guys noticed me do this, mm-hmm. but when the screen cut into LMD, I literally jumped up and down.
I just went like, I don't know.
I literally just got, because I think I was standing by that point. Yeah. I just was like, oh, you guys, LMD. Three letters had me like a small child.
I loved also the vibe of Ada. Like, I mean, if you guys played Portal, like I got a very GLaDOS Portal vibe from Ada, which I thought was cool.
I don't know who Ada is. I imagine it's going to be, whoever she's going to be is going to be somebody I think that we're familiar with. Whatever the body is going to be
Ward.
Somebody we're familiar with. That would be real weird if she kept that voice.
That would be so weird.
Because just the way that they treated that reveal.
Yeah.
We could do that. We could talk more about that, but I don't think there's much. We're not going to have any revelations on it.
I wonder if it's Simmons. I don't know.
That'd be real weird.
That'd be weird. It's a thought, though.
But we got to talk some news and gossip real quick because they dropped some
TV news.
They dropped some bombs on us today.
Big bombs.
And last week.
A lot of bombs for Marvel.
There was so the big news for S.H.I.E.L.D. is next season. We're going to be moving time slots.
Yeah.
Again, like S.H.I.E.L.D. started at 8 p.m. on Tuesdays in season one.
Now we're at
9 p.m. And next season, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. will be moving to 10 p.m. 10 p.m. whatever your local time is.
Yeah.
Tuesday nights. The reason that they're giving, supposedly, is that they want to take the show in a darker direction, which we very much saw in that sequence where Quake and Daisy is going a little bit darker. She's going rogue,
mm-hmm.
and like who knows what she's going to get up to? Who knows what everyone's doing? Like, so it seems like they are going that direction. Just the second half of this episode with all the addiction stuff was very adult and very much like that. Yeah, that's a 10 o'clock show.
Yeah.
So some people are worried that that's like a negative to the show.
It does seem like ABC is sort of waning on Marvel right now, but that specific move, I think, is for a different reason.
Yeah.
I like to believe that.
I mean, the thing is, like, I know that there are at least some younger viewers who came to the show after seeing, like, you know, Iron Man and Thor.
Yeah.
And, like, moving it back and making it darker, you're going to lose that viewership. But at the same time, you're now going to be allowed to kind of explore different types of stories.
Well, just like Harry Potter as an example. Like, that sure. book, like, the people, like, when I was 11, I read, like, and the first book came out, like Sorcerer's Stone, that book was appropriate for me.
Sure.
By the time I got to book 7, and it's a super dark book, I was 18.
Yeah.
And was, or 20 or whatever, and was ready for the dark book. So the show is maturing as the show grows. Yeah. And I think it's absolutely appropriate, and I'm very excited to see what they do with
it. Bring it on.
The other big news. Yeah. The other big news was Agent Carter officially got the cancellation notice from ABC this past week. Very sad to hear. There is, however, a glimmer of potential hope. Over 75,000 people, when I last checked, have signed a change.org petition. 75,000 people in just a few days.
Yeah,
and I want all of you to do it. The easiest way that I can point you there, you can either check for change.org. I know I've retweeted out. The @ABTV Marvel account has retweeted it. And then you can also follow @RenewAGNTCarter on Twitter, and they are going to have all the information as they go along.
Great.
Because there's no reason we can't push it to Netflix. I think Hulu would be a fantastic destination. Because I don't think Netflix is going to want to muddy their dark Marvel brand.
It's definitely very different.
Yeah, but Hulu, I think, would be the perfect place to carry this show on. Either way, I think a streaming service would absolutely give this show, at minimum, a 2-hour movie to close it out, or a small, short 6 to 10 episode season to finish it out.
And the other news is the Most Wanted didn't get picked up.
Yeah, Marvel's Most Wanted, which was going to star Mockingbird and Hunter, officially did not get picked up. They shot the pilot. It is not going ahead, so that may mean that we get Hunting Bird back on S.H.I.E.L.D.
I was going to say, you mean they didn't have to leave?
Which, I mean, I don't know how I feel about that. They sent them away in such a great fashion.
Yeah.
Like, one of the best sendaways in TV. To have them back kind of takes away from it.
It does.
But I love them.
I know. It's I'm very torn on the subject. Yeah. All right, guys.
Is that it?
I think that... Well, that's all the news. I think that's it for the season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I mean, we predicted throughout the entire episode. Yeah. So I don't think we could even add anything else. So... Guys,
oh my gosh.
I want to thank you so much for a fantastic season. I know Megan wants to thank you guys for joining us all year. This has been our highest, biggest live audience to date, 225 people joining us live. I want to give a few shout-outs that didn't get to. Victor Tang, Shadowbird, Ghost8386, Andrew Fedge, thank you for being a loyal viewer.
Asakeen.
All of you guys, Random Chick 51 makes me laugh. Luke V. There's a whole bunch more that
Ghost is in the chat.
Yeah, Jilly Renji.
Yeah.
Boo, always you're such a loyal viewer, and we so appreciate it.
I love
all of you guys. Everyone I didn't get to, everyone that's left an iTunes review, you can keep leaving those iTunes reviews, and then we're going to read them when we come back. For season 4 right here at AfterBuzz TV.
So exciting.
Because we absolutely will return, because I can't stop talking about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Guys, I mean, I could just thank you all day.
Yeah.
But if you want to keep up with us, you can do so in so many ways. And one particular way is you can keep following along with AfterBuzz TV's Marvel shows with ABTV Marvel on Twitter. If you do that, there just might be a digital comics giveaway.
What?
So those of you who have stayed to the end, who've waited till the end of the show, check the Twitter account. Let's say, I'm going to give people a few days. Let's say Thursday at sometime Thursday during the day.
PST.
I'm going to put out a trivia question on ABTV Marvel. And if the first person to answer correctly on Thursday
midday sometime, you will get a free digital comics download that I got when I one of the many times I went to go see Civil War, including Sam Wilson Captain America number one, Ooh. Invincible Iron Man number one, and I believe Civil War number one.
That's a sweet deal.
That Sam Wilson TBH. Is really good.
Yeah. So go to ABTV Marvel and make sure you're following the account or you can't win. And also make sure you're following me. I'm Zach Wilson. I've had so much fun hosting tonight in Megan's stead. I hope I did a good job. I hope my director feels that way. My fellow agents, I appreciate, but my director is important. But you can find me on Twitter, Instagram, on YouTube at that Zach Wilson. I just did a video on my channel about my five favorite moments from Civil War, and I'll be doing some more over the course of the summer. You can also find me here at AfterBuzz TV on a whole bunch of shows. This summer, I will be recapping Killjoys, and this Sunday, I'll be talking about the Grimm season finale.
Cool.
So much to discuss and some more stuff coming down the pipeline. Stay tuned to me on Twitter for all the details.
Nice.
Jessica Klein.
Folks, thank you guys so much. You're the best fans. The international audience is so cool. We got a shout out from Malta in the chat. Thank you guys so much for everything you've done. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at JessKlein1. That's JessKlein, the number one. And if you're in the Los Angeles area, I do live comedy all the time, specifically at the PAC Theater. You should come check it out.
They're funny.
Yeah.
I guarantee it. I don't guarantee it. I can't make that promise.
Hey, please don't.
Hey, guys. I echo Jesse's sentiments. You guys are the best audience. I love doing the S.H.I.E.L.D. show with you guys every single week. I genuinely love the show. I love talking about it. And I want to continue talking about it with you guys during the off season. So you can catch me on Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat at Jay Azuri. I've got behind-the-scenes snaps of us. So check that out. And also, if you're in the area and you're going to go to VidCon this summer, I will be there. And if you're there and you see me, please say hi. Ooh. I'll be at the Maker Studios booths.
All right, guys. We have been the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. AfterBuzz TV After Show. And thanks for geeking out with us.
Bye. Love you.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.